but briefly, quickly, bow with me. Father God, in my name of Jesus, I ask right now, Lord, that you would search me, oh God. Anything that's made in me that's not like you, I ask you to remove it right now in my name of Jesus. I ask that I would decrease and you would increase, that the words out of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your copy of God's word, I'm going to be coming out of Acts chapter number 3, beginning at the first verse. And since we are hurrying along, I'm going to read through this as quick as I can. And the Bible says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him." If I'm permitted tonight, I just want to talk just for a moment about there's something about that name.
Amen.
There's something about that name.
Amen.
Now, the whole book of Acts can be summarized in one verse. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We find in chapter 1 of Acts that the Lord appeared to his disciples for 40 days, speaking to them about the kingdom of God. Then before Jesus ascends to heaven, he commands them to stay in Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father. Jesus ascends, Matthias is chosen to replace Judas, and then the day of Pentecost arrives, and they have a Holy Ghost good time. And Peter, he preaches his first sermon. He preached Christ and him crucified. And he urged the people to repent and be baptized. And we are told that about 3,000 people got saved.
Yes.
But then we fast forward to chapter 2. And many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, which are not written in the book. That's what it says. He says, "But I'm so glad that God and his providence didn't leave out this account." I'm glad about that. Because here in chapter 3, Peter preaches his second sermon, but before he preaches his second sermon, something happens. The stage is set for his sermon that he's about to preach. And that's what we're going to focus on here tonight. In verse number 1 here, it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." Peter and John were like rappers, if you will. Some of y'all out there know what a rapper is, amen? So they was like rappers, if you will. And here in verse 1, we find them going up to the temple at one of the times of prayer, the ninth hour, around about 3 o'clock. They were often together, Peter and John, in the early portions of Acts. Peter, he did all the talking. And John, he kind of just stood in the background, just being a witness of everything that Peter was doing. So what we find here, we're introduced to a man that they said is lame. He's crippled. Verse 2 says that the man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Now it's about to start getting good right here. So as they
continued to the church house, Peter and John, they noticed something. They noticed this man that was lame. He was crippled. He was being carried. And the lame man, according to verse 2, was carried daily to the temple gate to ask alms. He was taking them to beg. That's what he was going to do. He was going to beg from the people that was going in. So we got this lame man. He's crippled, physically unable to stand on his own two feet. A man that for over 40 years, according to Acts chapter 4, verse 22, has had to depend on somebody else. A man not able to work for his living, but could only beg and live out there, live on the alms that he may or may not receive. Can you see it? Can you picture this man? Can you feel this man's pain? Yes, yes, I can feel that man, and I can see that lame man. And not only that, for me, I can identify with this lame man. I can testify that I was once a crippled man, and I was once a lame man, not physically, but mentally and spiritually. Because lameness comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And if you are here tonight, and you have to depend on somebody else, if somebody else got to take care of you or bring you where you got to go because you can't get there on your own, you too can identify with this lame man. The reality is, many of us here tonight are crippled. We are lame. It may not be physical lameness, but it may be a mental lameness. It may be that we don't have the cognitive capacity to take on our own responsibilities. It may be that we are socially lame, where we are expecting the government to do what God has called us to do. Maybe we are spiritually lame, and we're just totally ignoring or trying to run from the call of God that he has placed on our life. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Lameness comes in all shapes and sizes. But it all bears the same results. You have to depend on somebody else to do what you could not or what you would not do for yourself. Verse 3 says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. So it is, this lame man laying at the gate of the temple, and he sees Peter and John, and he begins to beg. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Spare change? You got some spare change? Could I hold something? Hey, bro, you want to hook me up? Look out for a brother. Could you help a brother out? I can see him. I can see him right out there. I can see him with his sign and his cup, hoping, just hoping to receive just a few dollars. I can see it. I mean, let's face it. According to the text, he's in the right side. He is front of the church doors. He found the right time for the church folk. They head into the church doors, and maybe, just maybe, they're going to have a lot of compassion. They're going to throw him a little something. Amen. They only agree into the prayer meeting, so all his plans are set, and the stage is set, the location is right. This lame man can't lose. He got to come up, right? He got to come up. Verse 4 says, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. In verse 5, he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. So he makes this request to Peter and John. Peter and John responded. They responded with a long gaze at him. The text says that they looked at him. They stared at him. And then they tell the man, look at us. At this point, the lame man, he knew he really came up now. So many folk had walked right on by and didn't even pay no attention at all. He knew that. minute. Wait a minute. Hold up. Stop right there. You mean to tell me you sat and you gave me the time of day? You got me looking at you acting as if you're about to give me some money, and now you don't tell me you ain't got no silver and you ain't got no gold? There's a dead monkey on the line somewhere. You gotta be playing games with me. No silver, no gold, was Peter saying. But what I do have, I give to you. Now, let me just pause right here for a minute, because sometimes we are asking and man in arms begging for the wrong thing. And we believe that if we have more money, things will be better. Can I get away?
Amen.
We believe that if we can just get a better job, or to get a job at all, that's going to make everything all right. Can I get away?
Amen.
But I stopped by here to tell you tonight that it may be that if you have more money, you just might have more problems.
Amen.
I'm coming to tell you that we can have all the money in the world. We can have the biggest house in the world, the fanciest car, and the best job in the world, and we still would be just as lame and crippled as we were before we had all that stuff.
Amen, amen.
Brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is money ain't going to fix your lameness. Drugs and alcohol ain't going to fix your lameness. PGM, I stopped out here to tell you tonight that silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I do need. This is what Peter and John knew. They saw this man's lameness, and they saw the man right in his crippled state, and they said, I ain't got no money for you. I ain't got no coins, no silver, no gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. Oh, I like that word, give. I like, hold on, wait a minute now, wait a minute now, wait a minute now. I like that word give. I like that word give right there, because give is a grace word. Give is a grace word. What I mean by that is, Peter and John got something that's better than silver and gold. They got something that the man can't even buy. And you know what else? He ain't got to work for it either. He ain't got to work for it. He ain't got to perform no specific duties for it. It's going to be given to him. Oh, I like that grace word. It's going to be given to him. I better keep moving here. Now, I come to tell you tonight, like I told you before, that it's something about the name of Jesus. Because Peter, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Y'all missed that right there. Y'all didn't hear me when I said it's something about the name. Yes, it's something about that name.
Amen.
See, the name of Jesus, number one, is associated with power. That's number one. Number two, the name of Jesus is a special name that the very mention of that name means salvation. It's something about that name. There's power in that name. Huh? There is hope in that name. There is healing in that name. something, there's something, there's something, there's something, there's something, there's something about that man. It's a life-giving man. It's a sin-killing man. You know what else? You know what Paul says? Paul says that therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That means Buddha can't do it. That means Confucius can't do it. That means Allah can't do it. But it's something about the name of Jesus. Oh, my, 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 my. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My, 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 my. And I just sat down here to tell you at the Pacific Garden Mission that you don't have to wait in the words of Kurt Franklin. You don't have to wait until the fire comes. You can praise Him right now.
Because in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you can rise.
And you, Lord, because see, what happened to that man, I want to see the same thing happen to you.
Yes.
And leaving up, he stood and began to walk. And he just simple and walking and leaving and praising God. And all of you saw him walking, praising God. Brothers and sisters, let tonight be your night. And all of God's people, see you walking and praising God. So if you need you out there, who God has called, he's talking on your heart tonight. Don't wait till the Lord, because the Lord may be too late. Because he's coming back. And when he comes back, oh my God, when he comes back, you either gonna be forced to lie because he's going back with him. So which way you want to go? I'm a lot more here. My time is up. God bless you. And make heaven smile upon you.